Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Book Buzz with Susanna Greenberg, your host. Today we'll be speaking about the book Digital Healing, People, Information, and Healthcare by Mark Ringel, MD. Digital Healing analyzes how to organize the work of healthcare in a way that uses machines to do what they do best, thereby freeing humans to do what we do best. Smart use of electronic technology. Oh, and here is Dr. Ringel. Hold on one moment.
In action.
Hello, Dr. Ringel. You're on the air. We're on
Book Buzz. Hi. Can you hear me okay?
You sound terrific. I'm so glad you joined in on the show. We're already taping, and I was just thinking about the name of your book. It's called Digital Healing, People, Information, and Healthcare by Mark Ringel. Today, I have questions for you about your book. Let me just mention that Dr. Ringel, in addition to his many academic and medical practice credentials, has media credentials. He has delivered a biweekly commentary on KUNC Radio, a public radio station in Colorado, for 16 years. And he's appeared on the radio program Marketplace on American Public Media numerous times and has written for columns for newspapers, including the Greeley Tribune of Colorado and the magazines Nexus and Health Money. So let me start by asking you some questions. The book is about the nexus, so to speak, of technology and healthcare. Perhaps you could speak to this question, which is, what can computers do better than humans in the healthcare business?
Well, as Larry Weed, who's a famous physician who just died, who started the problem-oriented medical record, and is well known for scads of aphorisms, said, the human brain is great for a lot of things, and remembering ain't one of them. For organizing information, for keeping track of information, for sorting information, for storing it, there's nothing better than a computer. And computers are getting smarter, if you will, at turning data into information, but still not nearly as well as the human brain does.
And so let me turn that question around, and maybe you could speak to the reverse. Elaborate more on what is it that humans can do better than computers in healthcare?
Well, although artificial intelligence is getting way better at recognizing and parsing human speech, as far as natural language goes, you know, the human brain is still way ahead of that, and understanding the subtleties of language, of culture, of context, of empathy, touching, making sense of the bigger picture, of values, ethics. Those are all things that computers aren't about to take over from human beings, at least in my lifetime, and probably not in the lifetime of my children either.
Now, let me ask you to return to the positive side of the tech. What are some of the examples of the tech wonders, let's say, that are exciting to you in the field of healthcare? Maybe describe some of them, say AI, VR, 3D printing. Tell us about some of the wonderful things that can do.
Well, I'd like to start with something that's actually pretty simple. I wrote a book about telehealth that was published about 18 years ago, which in tech years is about 180 years. My first practice was in a very small town in eastern Colorado, in the Prairie, a town of 2,000 people. We had a patient come into the emergency room on a backboard who'd been in an auto accident, was brought in by the ambulance, and his neck and back were completely immobilized. Neck x-rays are very hard to interpret. There are a lot of little bones and gizmos in there, and I wasn't sure what I was looking at with this guy who had had an accident, a crash that really could have injured his neck. You miss something like that, and the person could wind up paralyzed from the neck down. Mm-hmm. So I wanted a radiologist to look at the film, which he had taken in the emergency room there. And in order to get that done, we sent the film with the Yuma County Sheriff, who met at the border of Logan County, the Logan County Sheriff, who drove to Sterling, where the nearest radiologist was, who they called. He came into the hospital, took a look at the picture, called me back, and told me that we could get the patient off the backboard. That took about an hour and a half. Now, somebody maybe in Australia who's on night duty, on day duty there, will read the film almost instantaneously. It's a very small example, and it's something that's now very common. There are so many things, just being able to get your hands on the information you need as you're seeing the patient, that are, you know, of course there's 3D printing and big data and all sorts of whiz-bang stuff, which is important, but I'm, as a generalist, as a family physician myself, I'm most concerned with just the day-to-day of practice and how do we take better care of people? How do we make sure we don't give them drugs they're allergic to? How do we make sure that they get the immunizations they need or the screening tests or that we follow up on an abnormal test? These are all things that are very well now within the province of electronic technology, electronic medical record. They're often not done very well, and I talk about that a lot in my book. But, you know, I think that has a much bigger impact than the customized little gizmo that you can make with 3D printing, which is great for the person whom that affects.
I see. So I think it sounds like you can see the benefits of how technology can improve healthcare, and that many of them are available to us right now. So what's holding us back? What are the obstacles to overcome so that tech can help improve our healthcare system? What's holding us back?
Well, efficiency in healthcare has not paid heretofore. You know, it's been kind of the more patients you see, the more procedures you do, the more money you make. It's way harder to check into a hospital, generally speaking, than it is into a hotel. You come to the hotel and they say, oh, yes, and you prefer a non-smoking room and you want an upper floor and, you know, you need special access or whatever. You check into a hotel, into a hospital, and you're often giving them the reams of the same information you just gave at the clinic that belongs to the same system. If you're at the emergency room and let's say it's somebody somebody who has seizures, and they have yet another seizure, and they were just seen in another emergency room last week, and to be sure that there's nothing terrible happening inside the cranium, you do a CT scan, which is generally way easier to do and way faster than trying to get the results, let alone look at the picture that was done in another hospital, in another system, which has a different information system that doesn't even talk to yours anyway, not to mention to convince the people on the other side that they're not releasing data that they shouldn't be. So it has not paid. There's a misalignment between efficiency, which information technology can have can make a huge contribution to, and profit. So, you know, we continue to pay the price, and we kind of nibble away at the edges of this. But until I have my own record, the personal health record, that really belongs to me, not to a piece to this hospital, a piece to that hospital, a piece to that radiology group, and so on. When I have my own record that is accessible and that I can give people access to who need it or access to the parts that they need, we're going to be kind of playing this piecemeal game. And, you know, I can't tell you, as having been a frontline physician for all these years, especially in primary care, how much of the time I don't have the information I need at my fingertips to take care of somebody, unlike the mechanic who carries the airplane mechanic who carries an iPad and that can access everything they need to know. He or she needs to know about the airplane he's working on the engine he's working on at the very moment of service.
That makes a lot of sense. Information is critical. Access, clear, accessible information wherever the patient shows up, wherever the doctor is.
Right.
I see that. And yet, go on.
Go ahead. Well, what's happened too, again, in this system, you know, I've always been pretty informal with patients and with staff because I really want to be able to get their input. I have not been comfortable on the doctor's pedestal. That's the typical organization of healthcare in this country. On the other hand, what I've found is that we physicians have now been replaced at the pinnacle of the pyramid by administrators and bean counters. And so when they develop an electronic medical record, the first thing it does is it counts up things that lets you bill for more service. It has all these quality indicators that are often even confusing or contradictory, that I spend more time, the average physician spends more time now with a computer than with patients. Well, that's one reason for writing the book right now, because I would say almost every physician I talk to over the age of 50 is trying to think about how to get out of this profession, because they're so frustrated. How many patients do you talk to who've had the experience, and I bet you a lot of the listeners here have, of going to see the doctor and the doctor is looking at a computer screen and checking boxes rather than hearing your story?
That's very frustrating for both sides, I think, for the patient's point of view and the doctor's point of view.
Yes.
These obstacles that it sounds like it's not really the technology, but the way we're using it, we have to use it differently. On the other hand, so overall, how are you feeling about the future of healthcare and our ability to harness the power of technology? Are you an optimist or are you a pessimist about our future and our ability to improve our healthcare system?
The answer is yes. I think the system has to, it's probably going to implode, although I've already predicted since I was in medical school in the early 70s, six of the last zero failures of the healthcare system. But, healthcare has become unaffordable to large sections of the middle class now. I don't know how much longer that can go on. I think things are probably going to have to implode before we develop a system that's really around serving people's real needs. I think that's perfectly doable, and electronic technology is a huge piece of that. You know, another example I give or a question I ask is, would you get on an airplane with a pilot who doesn't believe in checklists? Well, of course not. We need data. We need to make sense of data. We do a much better job when we have good data. But if instead you just get kind of a disorganized bunch of stuff that 12 different people each think that they need this data piece, you know, whether for billing or quality or whatever, you wind up with a system that doesn't really serve the people it's supposed to serve, neither the patients nor the providers.
All right. On that note, which is both optimistic and pessimistic, I want to thank you for speaking with us today and to remind listeners, we have been speaking with Mark Ringel, Dr. Mark Ringel, author of a new book called Digital Healing, People, Information, and Healthcare, about the nexus of healthcare and technology. And thank you so much, Dr. Ringel. That was a wonderful talk.
Oh, well, thank you very much. This was a pleasure. And, of course, I only have about three more hours of things to say, but we'll save that for another time.
Well, we'll have you back. And
okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Be healthy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye.